Don't have enough time to sit down and read all the best Bitcoin articles? Well, let us read them for you. This is a Cryptoeconomy Quick Read. Today we got a Cryptoeconomy Quick Read coming from goldtelegraph.com, and it's an assessment of the central banking situation, which I don't think you can separate Bitcoin and cryptocurrency from the macro consequences of the central banking problems that we have in the world today. I think they're very, very much intertwined, regardless of whether or not, you know, stock prices move with Bitcoin or, you know, so on and so forth. So we are hitting one titled "The Central Bank Bubble. It Will Be Ugly," posted on March 21st and written by Alex Deluce. So let's jump in. The global economy has been living through a period of central bank insanity, thanks to a little understood expansion strategy known as quantitative easing, which has destroyed Main Street and benefited Wall Street. Central banks over the last decade simply created credit out of thin air. Snap a finger, and credit magically appears. Only central banks can perform this type of credit magic. It's called printing money, and they have gone on the record saying they are magic people. Increasing the money supply lowers interest rates, which makes it easier for banks to offer loans. Easy loans allow businesses to expand and provides consumers with more credit to buy goods and increase their debt. As a country's debt increases, its currency eventually debases, and the world is currently at historic global debt levels. Simply put, the world's central banks are playing a game of monopoly. With securities being bought by a currency that is backed by debt rather than actual value, we have recently seen $9.7 trillion in bonds with a negative yield. At maturity, the bondholders will actually lose money, thanks to the global central bank's strategies. The Federal Reserve has already hinted that negative interest rates will be coming in the next recession. These massive bond purchases have kept volatility relatively stable, but that can change quickly. High inflation is becoming a real possibility. China, which is planning to dethrone the dollar by backing the yuan with gold, may survive the coming central banking bubble. Many other countries will be left scrambling. Some central banks are attempting to turn the current expansion policies around. Both the Federal Reserve, the Bank of Canada, and the Bank of England have plans to hike interest rates. The European Central Bank is planning to reduce its purchases of bonds. Is this too little too late? The recent global populist movement is likely to fuel government spending and higher taxes as protectionist policies increase. The call to end wealth inequality may send the value of overvalued bonds crashing in value. The question is, how can an artificially stimulated economic boom last in a debtor's economy? Central bankers began to embrace their quantitative easing strategies as a remedy to the 2007 economic slump. Instead of focusing on regulatory policies, central bankers became the rescuers of last resort as they snapped up government bonds, mortgage securities, and corporate bonds. For the first time, regulatory agencies became the world's largest investment group. The strategy served as a temporary band-aid as countries slowly recovered from the global recession. The actual result, however, has been a tremendous distortion of asset valuation, as interest rates remain low, allowing banks to continue a debt-backed lending spree. It's a monopoly game on steroids. The results of the central bank's intervention were mixed. While a small, elite, wealthy segment was purchasing assets, the rest of the population felt the widening income gap as wage increases failed to meet expectations and the cost of consumer goods kept rising. The policies of the Federal Reserve were not having the desired effect. While the Federal Reserve Bank began to reverse its quantitative easing policy, other central banks, such as the European Central Bank, the Swiss National Bank, and the European National Bank, have become even more aggressive in the quantitative easing strategies by continuing to print money with abandon. By 2017, the Bank of Japan was the owner of 3/4 of Japan's exchange-traded funds, becoming the major shareholder trading in the Nikkei 225 index. The Swiss National Bank is expanding its quantitative easing policy by including international investments. It is now one of Apple's major shareholders, with a $2.8 billion investment in the company. Central banks have become the world's largest investors, mostly with printed money. This is inflating global asset prices at an unprecedented rate. Negative bond yields are just one consequence of this financial distortion. While the Federal Reserve is reducing its investment purchases, other global banks are keeping a watchful eye on the results. Distorted interest rates will hit investors hard, especially those who have sought out riskier and higher yields as a consequence of quantitative easing, malinvestment. The policies of the central banks were unsustainable from the start. The stakes in their monopoly game is rising as they are attempting to rectify their negative yield bond purchasing with purchases of stocks. This is keeping the game alive for the time being. However, these stocks cannot be sold without crashing the market. Who will end up losers and winners? Middle America certainly isn't going to be happy when the game ends. If central banks continue in their role as stockholders funded by fiat currency, it will change the game completely. Middle America has cause to feel uneasy. So for those of you who don't keep up with it, that's a brief overview of what's been going on with central bank policy. It really has gotten out of control. This is a economic experiment like no other. A lot of people talk about Bitcoin as being an experiment and, you know, untested waters. But what all the major central banks are doing right now across the globe is a far, far riskier and more destructive gamble than anything Bitcoin is testing. They have negative interest rates. They've absolutely killed the only natural incentive to save within an economy. And we are entirely fueling all of our quote-unquote growth with promises to pay things back later, which is not, it's just not going to work. You can't promise to cut down trees and then build a house with those promises. The economic resources are coming from somewhere, and they're not getting replenished. We are digging ourselves into a hole. Unfortunately, there seems to be no real incentive and hardly any pressure for them to actually fix anything. And when it all goes to crap, probably a majority of the economy will, or a majority of the public will still have absolutely no idea what happened or what caused it. And I'm sure it'll be just all the evil people charging too high of prices. Everybody's greedy and racist, and it's the rough 10% of the economy that isn't outright directly controlled and horrifically manipulated by government policy and price controls and subsidies and regulation across the board that surely must be responsible for all of our disastrous problems and mountain of debt. Free markets just obviously don't work. Government should take over everything. With that, though, we literally could not get a more perfect storm for the need of an escape hatch, which I think cryptocurrency and Bitcoin, I think that's what it is. It is a way out of this mess. If we can create and sustain a decentralized, independent global currency, it has the opportunity to provide the people with a way out of this giant, manipulated financial mess. So, that's why I'm here, at least. Well, one of many reasons. And that should do it for this quick read, though. I don't think I have anything else to add. Feel free to comment. Don't forget to like and share and subscribe on iTunes. And follow me on Twitter at TheCryptoEconomy. But I'll catch you guys next time. Take it easy.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.